Welcome to the Servants of Grace podcast hosted by Dave Jenkins. Our podcast exists to provide trustworthy expository messages through the Bible and faithful answers to your theology questions. Now, for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
Well, welcome back to the Servants of Grace podcast and to the theology segment. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And today, a listener writes in, they have a great question. Did God really know me before I was born? What a fantastic question. What a relevant question, given the fact that so many people, in light of what's happening with Roe versus Wade, are wondering about life. We're talking about it. And so this is a very good question. Scripture defines a person as a human being from conception. This is what David writes about in Psalm 139, 13 through 16. The psalmist in Psalm 139, 13 through 16 uses poetic lyrics to explain how the Lord creates life in the womb, that human beings have life before birth. The Lord has a specific plan from a person's life from conception. So the Jews believe that an abortion of a preborn child and exposure of a child born are both murder sins. God created life. He breathed life into Adam. Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature." God created man and woman for procreation. Genesis 2:24 says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." The Bible makes it clear that the killing of a person created in God's image is murder. Exodus 20:13 says, "You shall not murder." The word murder is the translated word ratash. And according to Strong's dictionary, it means to murder, to slay, to kill, premeditated, accidental, as avenger, slayer, intentional, to assassinate. That means that we can draw a very clear line from Exodus 20:13, and we have biblical warrant to say that abortion is murder. But not only that, the Didache, an ancient manual for church instruction, taught early Christians and us today, drawing on verses like this, it says, "You shall not commit murder. You shall not procure abortion, nor commit infanticide." There's a difference between a child and a mother's womb and one outside of it, and yet the early church saw both as equally living people and taking life as murderous. Charles Scobie said that Scripture uses the Greek word briefus for Elizabeth's unborn child, unborn in Mary's womb, and also for the children brought to Jesus. Another example is found in the birth announcement of Samson. The angel of the Lord told Samson's mother in Judges 13:7, "The boy will be a Nazarite of God from the womb until the day of his death." Samson is referred to as a boy from the womb until death, indicating the time from prior to physical birth to beyond the womb. Isaiah 49 verse 1 says, "Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name." This servant of the Lord was called by God as a child in the womb. God told the prophet Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations," Jeremiah 1:5 says. God knew Jeremiah while he was still in his mother's womb, referring to Jeremiah as a living being prior to his birth. God is involved in the creation and development of a person from the earliest stages of formation in the womb. Human life is defined by Scripture from the point of conception. Well, Christians today, we must stand up. We must speak up on moral and ethical issues and proclaim the Word of God. God reveals His will in regards to theological, moral, and ethical issues like abortion. Jesus taught believers in Matthew 5:13 that we are to be salt and light. The Lord created life when he breathed into Adam's nostrils and breathed life into every human being since. We as Christians have a biblical, a moral, and an ethical obligation to speak out on social justice, on justice issues, especially issues related to life. Abortion is murder. God will intrude. He will deal with those who murder innocent children in the womb. He is a just God. To prevent abortion, Christians must stand upon God's word. We must fight for the unborn. We must speak to our government officials and tell them that abortion is not a choice that we are going to accept, and why we don't accept that. We must speak up for the unborn. Christians are to be known as people of the book who regularly open and read and meditate and study and apply what the Word of God says. Abortion is murder. We can draw, as I said, a direct line from Exodus 20:13 and say that it is clearly murder because God says so. The Lord created life when he breathed life into Adam. Every single person is sinful from the moment of conception. We call this original sin. It means that humans are born with a sin nature at conception. Genesis 2:16-17, it tells us that Adam was commanded not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And since Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all humanity are now sinners by nature and by choice. Jesus, the second Adam, fulfills God's image-bearing purposes. The image of God in man, marred by the fall, can only begin to be restored through faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. One day the image of God will be fully restored when the people of God shall be entirely like the Lord. The Apostle Paul speaks of this particular issue when he talks about the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, in 2 Corinthians 4:4 and Colossians 1:15. Jesus is the image of God that God the Father intended Adam to be in the Garden of Eden. Christians united to Christ by faith are now seen by God the Father as his adopted children and are daily being conformed in the image of Christ. Christians are the possession of the Lord. They are the apple of his eye. This reality should cause those of us who have been made holy by the Lord and whose sins have been forgiven because of the person and work of Christ to now live rightly before the Lord, who is holy and just in all of his ways. John Calvin states in his commentary on Psalm 119 through 150, one great reason for the carnal security into which we fall is not considering how singular we were fashioned at first by our divine maker. We must understand that the Lord is the creator. He's the Lord over all of his people. We are doubly owned and we are doubly accountable to him. So we belong to him. He has every right to intrude into our lives and discipline the one he loves, as Hebrews 12:6 says. And since the Lord is just, he will also deliver divine justice against sin. We need to speak to others who are fearfully and wonderfully made about Christ. We are taught in the Great Commission to go, therefore, make disciples, to do the work of an evangelist in 2 Timothy 4:5, to be salt and light in Matthew 5:10-12. And since Christians have been saved by Christ and are the possession of Christ and now have new desires for Christ, we should tell others about Christ. So we as Christians should speak on biblical, ethical, moral, and even justice issues to point people to the person and the work of Christ. And so let us, as God's people, point people to the Lord Jesus, who is wonderful, altogether righteous, and who now empowers his people through his Spirit to tell others of the glad tidings and the good news of salvation in Christ alone. I want to thank you for listening or watching this episode of the Servants of Grace Theology segment. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to the Servants of Grace podcast today. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, leave a rating on the app, and share our episode with your friends and family. If you'd like to, you can follow us on Instagram at Servants of Grace, on Twitter at Servants of Grace, or by searching Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find this podcast on the front page of our website at servantsofgrace.org.